As we've studied the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, we have read of many places and we have learned many names. Names such as Judea and Jerusalem and Nazareth and Bethany, Capernaum, Galilee, Sidon, and Tyre. Sometimes we've read of vague descriptions that tell us where Jesus went, such as the other side of the sea, in the city and in the country, in the wilderness. They entered into a ship and sat in the sea, or up into a high mountain. I think all of us have memories that are tied to places with names and addresses that we shall never forget. Me, I have Driftwood, Arkansas, the little village where I was born. And Lynn, a little town of several country stores where we bought groceries and supplies for the farm. Dry Creek, a school and a little church. Strawberry and Strawberry River. Riverview, the Penn Farm. The Penn Slough, where I caught my first fish, and the line ball place where I grew up. Hoxie, strange name, and yet the place we caught a train to everywhere. 2222 South Maple. Or some 45 years ago, Betty and I lived when we first married. 1107 South Washington Street. Forest City, Arkansas, where I had the blessing of God upon my first full-time pastorate. Today, we're called to a place named Gethsemane. And it was here that Jesus prayed to the Father. It was here that Jesus was betrayed. And it was here that Jesus was arrested. So we look this morning and listen as Jesus prayed in a place named Gethsemane. And like many other names, it has a place of dark memory. As a people and as a nation, we have names that bring things pleasant and unpleasant to mind. Such places as Bunker Hill, Valley Forge, Gettysburg, Shiloh, Flanders Field, Pearl Harbor, Iwo Jima, Hamburger Hill, and so many others. And it is true of the name Gethsemane, of this place at Mount Olive, where the name itself, Gethsemane, means an oil press or a place of oil. Jesus brought his disciples to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit you here while I shall pray." Jesus said this to his disciples, and then the Bible tells us that he took Peter, James, and John a little farther. And the Bible tells us that Jesus was sorely amazed. He was completely astonished. And it was here that Jesus felt the grip of shuddering horror as he faced the dreadful prospect of his death by crucifixion. The Bible tells us that Jesus said that he was very heavy. That is, he was filled and subdued by a state of great anxiety. And Jesus said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry you here and watch." Jesus said, "I am surrounded by sorrow. My heart is heavy to the point of death. Wait here and keep watch." And as Jesus prayed, the Bible tells us in verse 35 that he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. Here in this place named Gethsemane, Jesus met perhaps the greatest challenge of his life, for here he prepared himself for death. Not only was he exceedingly sorrowful, not only was he astonished and filled with dread, but Jesus fell on the ground and then began to pray. There are times when to simply bow our heads is not enough. There are times in our lives when to simply nod some affirmative or negative prayer toward God is insufficient. There are times in our lives when it isn't enough to cross ourselves or to light a candle. There are times in our lives when it is insufficient to even kneel and pray. There are times when it is fitting to fall on the ground. And the Bible tells us that here Jesus did that. He fell on the ground and he prayed. And here's what Jesus said: "Dear Father, you can do anything. Please let me not have to drink this cup. Yet I pray not what I want, but what you want." Jesus realized that there would be a time of agony physically, a time of desertion spiritually, a time of betrayal, and a time of denial. All of these were in that cup that he looked down into, in the place named Gethsemane. God answered his prayer, because the prayer that Jesus prayed wasn't simply, "Let this cup pass from me," but it was, "Not what I want, but what you want." And in that essence, in that sense, the prayer of Jesus was answered, because he did give himself to the will of his Father. Here in this place named Gethsemane, Jesus saw the weakness of the flesh in his disciples. He came to them, and finding them sleeping, he said unto Peter, "Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? I'm sure this question cut deeply into the heart of Simon Peter. It was a rebuke. It was a question that no human could answer without tears in his eyes, without an aching heart. But Jesus gave an explanation for this. He said, "Watch you and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And then the spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." What a tragic circumstance we find ourselves even today. That we have a ready spirit in a weak body. And oh, how many times do we realize this fact and assent to this truth? Our spirits oftentimes soar. We feel like singing, and we do sing perhaps to ourselves as we ride along in our automobiles, as we work in the kitchen or mow the yard. Our spirits are filled. They soar toward God in great joy and thanksgiving. But then we realize they are housed in weak flesh. And how that oftentimes breaks our heart. And we say, along with Paul the Apostle, the things we want to do, we seem not to do. And the things we abhor and despise, we find ourselves doing. And Jesus saw that in the sleeping disciples, in these three who had gone a little further with him and still had gone to sleep. It wasn't the spirit, it was the flesh. Jesus Jesus repeated his prayer. In verse 39, the Bible tells us that again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. Dear Father, you can do anything. Please let me not have to drink this cup. Yet I pray not what I want, but what you want. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they what to answer him. Heavy eyes and silent lips. Again, we find ourselves in that circumstance from time to time. We know what to do, and we want to do what God wants us to do, but our eyes are heavy and our flesh is weak. And when he whispers to our hearts, why, we have no answer. In the place named Gethsemane, Jesus realized that the clock had struck the hour. And Jesus said, it is enough. Whatever enough is, it was enough. Enough suffering, enough time had passed. Enough grief had been endured. Enough questions had been asked. Enough delay had been put forth. And sometimes in life, it's just enough. And so it was true of Jesus. It was just enough. He said, the hour's come. It is time for betrayal. And it was in a place called Gethsemane that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It had been prophesied not only by Jesus, it had been prophesied in the Old Testament. It was fully expected. Jesus said to those who were with him, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. And immediately, the Bible tells us, immediately, the very next incident that occurred was the betrayal of Jesus. There had been a prior arrangement made of which we have read. The Bible calls it in verse 44 a token. He had given them a token saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him away safely. Why? Why, Judas? Why did you say lead him away safely? Are you concerned about the well-being of Jesus, him upon whom you have now given a long enduring kiss so that there would be no mistake about who is identified as Jesus of Nazareth, who has said that he is the Son of God, the Anointed One? Why do you want him safely led away, Judas? Maybe it's enough to betray the Lord. Maybe Judas felt that if they'll just take him away, just take him away and put him safely away somewhere, and then I'll not be challenged by his teachings. I won't have to give my heart and soul and life and my very essence to him who makes such a claim. How many times do we want our problems just taken away and safely hidden somewhere? Maybe Judas simply could not bear the heartache of seeing Jesus hurt or harmed. Maybe he thought, they'll just take him somewhere. question him. They will caution him. And they'll send him away somewhere and he'll be safe. And I will have made my decision and I'll be sheltered from his teachings. I don't know. But the Bible tells us as soon as he was come, he saith, he goeth straight rather way rather to him and saith, Master, that is, Rabbi, Rabbi, and kissed him. And they laid their hands on him and took him away. The Bible says that there was one who wanted to defend him, and it was, according to John, the Apostle Peter. But it was here in a place named Gethsemane that Jesus was arrested. They took him. These are the temple guards. They're the ones who follow the orders of the chief priests, of the religious leaders who are in charge of the temple, who are charged with finding out what is blasphemy and what is truth and protecting the people of Israel from those who are false teachers. How they hate Jesus. How they despise this one who embarrassed and humiliated them in the temple when he was only 10 years old. How often have they felt his lash literally and symbolically? Grown into a man who challenges the very heart of those who lead the nation of Israel spiritually, and now they have brought their guards and they have laid their hands on him. And Peter, who seems to have endured as much as he could, who perhaps filled with anger at himself for sleeping while Jesus prayed, felt that like in just a moment I can vindicate myself, I can protect the Lord, I can do all that I can do, I can be what I ought to be. And he took his sword and he swung at Malchus, and Malchus ducked and he cut off his ear. And I'm sure that Peter looked wide-eyed at Jesus, expecting him to praise him and to thank him. But Peter was confused still about who Jesus was and what he was coming to do. And he healed this man and rebuked Peter and told him to put up the sword. He hadn't come to be saved by the sword. He'd come to give his life on the cross. The Bible tells us that Jesus spoke to these who came to arrest him and to take him for trial. Jesus said in verse 48, "It's not necessary for you to come to arrest me with swords and staves and all kinds of weapons. Do you think I'm a thief?" Jesus said, "I'm a common criminal. Do you have to come and use all these instruments that you have brought in order to get me to go with you? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not." Jesus said, "You've had many prior opportunities, and you never did this, and I didn't run from you. I didn't hide myself. I didn't go out into the secret places of our nation and gather rebels to me. I came to the temple and I spoke to you face to face. And I gave you truth for truth." And Jesus said, "I'm not going to run now, nor will I plead for my life, that the scriptures must be fulfilled." And the Bible tells us that they all forsook him and fled. It was too much. It was too much. Indeed, the flesh was weak. Jesus had warned all of the apostles at the supper. And they had all said, "We will go with you until the very end. We will die with you." Not just Simon Peter, but the Bible tells us they all said that. And now the Bible tells us that they all forsook him and fled. The shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will be scattered. An Old Testament prophecy. Jesus was arrested in a place named Gethsemane. And there's a very mysterious incident recorded in verse 51 and verse 52. "And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. The young men laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." We do not know this young man's name. Some have said it may have been Mark. No one knows. But he must have been there, and perhaps the one to whom Jesus had asked permission to use this garden called Gethsemane. But he rushed out in his pajamas, literally, his sleeping garment cast about him. And the soldiers laid hands on him, and then he fled also. Just a little incident. But the Bible tells us they all forsook him. And now the friend of sinners has no friend. And now the creator of this world has no one standing with him. "Not as I will," Jesus had prayed, "but as thou wilt." Not what I want, but what you want. And now, what God wanted is going to happen. Not in a place named Gethsemane. No, it's not the place for the sacrifice. That will be at a place named Calvary.